Welcome to Sonic Forge, a podcast series about songwriting from Zephyr Hills Alliance Church. In each episode, we introduce a new song and talk about it with the artist behind that song. If you're in search of classic devotional language from Scripture, you don't need to look much farther than Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The Psalms are full of lines like these that help us find comfort in the magnitude of God, while simultaneously compelling us to draw near to Him. What does it mean for us to place our trust in this God? The song, I Trust in You, by Teddy O'Farrell, draws inspiration from Psalm 91 to answer that question. Trust is an essential bond, a defining characteristic of our relationship with God. The more we walk with Him, the more we come to rely on Him, and the more we know He will deliver us.
In the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I trust in You when danger is near. I trust in You, no need to fear. In everything I say and do, I give thanks and praise. I trust in You. Command Your angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. On their hands they will bear me up and keep me from falling. I trust in You when danger is near. I trust in You, no need to fear. In everything I say and do, I give thanks and praise. I trust in You. I will hold on to Your love, for You will deliver me. You will deliver me. And I will call on Your name, for You will answer me. You will answer me. I trust in You all my life. I trust in You every day and every night. In everything I say and do, I give thanks and praise. I trust in You. I trust in You when danger is near. I trust in You, no need to fear. In everything I say and do, I give thanks and praise. I trust in You. Trust in You. And everything I say and do with all my life, I trust in You.
All right, so that was I Trust in You by Ted O'Farrell. That's a new song, right?
Yes, it is a new song.
When did you write it?
November-ish.
November, and, so a couple months ago?
A couple months ago, right around there.
You were telling me earlier, you recorded it in E.
Yes.
So you're playing in E, but just now what we heard, you were playing in the D form with the capo. Do you like to do that? Let me ask you that. In the recording, did you do that, or did you play it in E with all the open strings?
In the recording, I played it on with capo.
Okay.
Yeah, I do like the capo. because I like D.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot in the key of D, so I capoed it and played it in that.
No, I really like playing in D as well, and I think the groove of the song was really catchy. You know, you have the same chord progression for the verse and for the chorus, and I think that works really, really well. You know, even the melody is different for the two, but it's the same chord progression through both.
Yeah, so what I've been trying to do is listen to other contemporary artists and their songs and then try to analyze what they do with tempo and with chord structure. So that's kind of what I did with this one with Jeremy Camp's Getting Started, and just try to analyze his tempo. And he was pretty steady at 120 and then...
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the song. Is it the same? Does it start in that same chord progression? Or you said he plays different chords?
Yeah, he's in a different key.
Okay.
A different musical key. So then I try to move the key and just say, okay, I'm going to try to keep the tempo the same. And then try to listen to the vibe.
Okay.
Not so steal, kind of, but just
right,
insights.
The rhythm or the lilt,
yeah.
I think, I mean, that's a really common songwriting practice, I think, especially when you're learning to write songs, is, well, let's write one like this. And even if you aren't learning, even if you are an accomplished songwriter, it's helpful to kind of break out of your typical groove, you know,
like if
you
like
what I normally, hey, here's how all my songs tend to sound. So if you're finding that, you can try to augment somebody else's song or start with another song and then like make it your own, rewrite it and change it to where, so these songs aren't the same. I don't think people would look at Jeremy Camp's Getting Started and your song and be like, oh yeah, that's the same song.
No, they wouldn't.
No, you would.
No,
so it's definitely not not like ripping somebody off. But this is a good way to
It's a good way to learn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to analyze music and so forth.
You know, music's a language. And so if we're both speaking English, it sounds the same. It sounds a little different. We use different words and we put them together differently, but it's the same language. And I think that's true with music too. So a lot of times, I mean, sometimes people do rip off a beat, you know, or rip off a riff, especially if it's a really popular one, and they're like, "Ooh, I want to use that in my." But in general, I mean, sometimes songs just sound the same because it's the same language.
And there is, you know, and the technology now is so advanced. I mean, you can get a piece of music and you can put it in a piece of software, and it will divide up the stems and separate the bass and the drums and the strings and the vocals, and you can take what you want and leave what you don't want. And that's kind of wild.
Yeah. So we're not advocating for people.
I'm not advocating to do that.
But that's a good way to learn. It's a good way to see how strings are mixed and how strings are done. To pick it apart, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so did you start with the vibe of the song and the melody and rhythm and the chords?
Yeah, on this one, what I did, I listened to the song and analyzed it and then said, hey, I'm going to try to do the same tempo and try to write something with the same chord progression. And then in my devotional time, I was in Psalm 91. So that's where verse 1 and the verse 2 come from. And that's pretty much scripture, 91, verses 1 and 2. That's verse 1.
Psalm 91, yeah.
Psalm 91. And then verse 2 is based on verse 11 and 12, and I changed that a little bit. I'm guilty of sometimes cramming too many words into a phrase or to a lyric. And
yeah, you have a decision to make when you're working with scripture, especially a scripture as familiar as this.
Yeah.
You could probably use half these words and still people would know it was Psalm 91 because it's just such a classic, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to remain true to the exact words, and not just like to honor scripture, but because it's so familiar.
Right.
So if you change it a little bit, then people are like, well, it's not exactly how it's said. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think especially in a really classic devotional scripture like this, that's a real question is, do I use every word? It might mess up the syntax or the prosody of the song, but it's familiar, so I want to pack them all in there.
Yeah.
You know, or not. You know, it's a decision.
Well, I mean, how many songs have The Lord is My Shepherd?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I mean, that's there, right? Right? Or
Absolutely.
And so, but there are some scriptures that are there that you just, your mind goes to if you've been familiar with it. And these are one, and the promises are true.
Yeah, let me ask you that then. So are you going to the Psalms for lyrics, or are you sitting down to write lyrics, and because you spent time in the Psalms devotionally, they're coming to you?
Yes.
Both.
Yeah, it's basically both. I love the Psalms, and so I was in the Psalms, and that happened to be in my reading rhythm of that day in November. I was in Psalm 91. And I just thought, man, that would be really good. And then I tried with the chorus to say, well, what is the psalmist, what is he saying? He says, you know, I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God. And then that kind of led to the chorus, in whom I trust. Mm. You know, the overarching theme, I think, is the psalmist saying, hey, God, I trust in you, you know, for my protection, for my help, for everything.
Yeah. The shadow, and, shelter, refuge, yeah. Fortress, these are strong.
Yeah.
Like you picture these walled structures or mm-hmm. these strong spaces wherein we are safe. And so what do I trust you for? I trust you for my protection. I trust that I'm yes. safe with you.
Yes.
You know, when something is as big as God, it's like the analogy of like if there was a bear in the room, we would not feel very safe because a bear is much bigger than us and stronger and unpredictable and dangerous. And God is much bigger than us. He's much bigger than a bear.
He's way right? bigger than
and
a bear.
And he's present.
Yeah. Yes.
And so there's a switch that turns when you know that entity is good mm-hmm. and has your good in mind and is mm-hmm. actually here to protect you, not to attack or assault or hurt you.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, there's a bear in the room, but he's like our dad, you know?
Yeah.
And then you feel super safe. You're not worried about anything else that's out
there. He's our dad. He's our protector. He's going to look out for us.
Right. So there's no need to fear that's when right. danger is near.
That's right. And then the second verse, you know, we'll always think about that. People think about, oh, I have a guardian angel, right? And we have angel sightings. But, you know, here is just the promises from Scripture that the Lord will do that. He will command his angels to guard us in all our ways. Mm. That's very comforting and very assuring. And that goes back to part of being under the protection of the Almighty.
I think the verses in the chorus paint this picture, this generalized picture of the safety that we have in God and trusting in the ways that he keeps us safe. And then the bridge is more of a specific appeal to that safety and protection.
Yes.
You know, I will call in your name because you'll deliver me. I'll hold on to your love. You'll answer me, right? Deliver me, answer me. I think that's in a more specific application, I suppose, of the truth.
Yes. Yeah, this is the highlight of that. It's because, Lord, you are my shelter, my shadow, my protector, my refuge, my fortress. I can call on your name and know that you'll answer.
Yeah.
And
I think that's really cool. And I think that good. In terms of worship, that's both of those are really appropriate. There can be a moment in worship, we can just be singing about how we trust in God and reflecting on that, which is great. And there can also be a moment in the congregation. There can be a person or a group of people who really need to access that for a specific place in their life in that moment, and having a bridge that enables that puts words to that, like I'm calling you right now. I'm gonna take advantage of this safety and refuge and trust right now. That's great when a worship song can do those things. It's more that way, more people can engage with it.
Yeah, I think the Lord wants us to move in that direction. You know, there's many examples of scripture of that. You know, Peter stepping out of the boat. Jesus, if that really is you, call me to come. You know, and Peter says. And the Lord says, it is me. Come, Peter. And Peter takes that big, giant step. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, whatever issue we're facing or valley that we're in or maybe on the mountaintop, wherever we are, we can do that. We can count on his love and call on him because he is that good, good God, not out to get us,
right,
but out to just display his love and majesty and help us.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I trust in you.
You played this song for a consultant or something?
Yes, yeah. It was really cool. So in my home studio, we did some work on it, and I mixed it and mastered it. And then I had a consultant engineer up in New York area and did a 15-minute review of the song and was very complimentary. In my original mix, I had some frequencies that were a little out of heart, they would call it harsh. So, you know, in mixing and recording, you've got to understand all these terms now. What's muddy? Mm. What's harsh? What's, you know, and so it was more in the treble area. And so it hurt. It says it kind of hurts my ears, but it's good. But if you fix that, you know, could be a better thing. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it was through a website called mastering.com.
Especially for those of us who are like amateur, like recording at home studios and stuff, it's really helpful to have a professional be like, hey, these frequencies, because you'll hear a lot of times, hey, control the frequency, but you won't know, well, but like which ones?
Which ones, right.
And so it can be really helpful to have a professional be like, this is what it is. It's this, the treble here, it's this guitar part, or the bass is too wide open here. You need to.
Yeah, they do. Back.
It's really helpful because they've listened to thousands of songs and developed an ear for that kind of thing. That's really helpful.
That's where it is. They developed an ear. They can pick up that frequency, you know, and stuff like that. And then it was good. It was a very positive experience.
Well, it's a journey we're all on.
So I know.
That's great.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I trust in you when danger is near. I trust in you, no need to fear. In everything I say and do, I give thanks and
You can find this song and more songs by Teddy O'Farrell at teddyofarrell.com or at bandcamp.com/teddyofarrell. Sonic Forge is a podcast series from Zephyr Hills Alliance Church. To learn more about our church, find us on Facebook or on our website, zaccma.org.